say that, yes, I know it's going to need some work, but I'm sure you will be finished by Friday. And so, yes, I apologize for what the students are coming when I'm serious and when I'm not serious. But there was some other work that I think you were asked to do, and I don't want to waste much time. Can we go over to you and then you tell us what documents we have, and then can we proceed?
Okay, so the certificate is prepared and working from document 20. That's the six documents. Okay, person, what is the core process in the working draft? First, on page 21, where we've deleted paragraph new J to establish a national reclassification database of reclassified information that will be made accessible to members of the public. And then, Chairperson,
thank you.
67, 68, and top of 69. Hostile activity offensive. Everybody have the document? Can you then proceed, Ms. Poison?
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 2, at the top, to insert a new paragraph D, but does not include lawful political activities at the protest or dissent. Chairperson, then we also have distributed a loose-leaf document that also just contains the drafting proposal on the definition of national security. It's just titled drafting proposal and then indicates national security. And the only proposal that we are making there is just to have it in a drafting form. It will then be to insert the words in paragraph C by changing it around to say, acts directed at undermining the capacity of the Republic to respond to the use of or threat of the use of force in carrying out the Republic's responsibilities to any foreign country and international organizations in relation to any of the matters referred to in this definition, whether directed from or committed within the Republic or not. And Chairperson then to bring out the provided to indicate that it applies to all of this, but does not include lawful political activity, advocacy, protest, or dissent. That's just something that the committee may consider from the drafting perspective.
Honourable members, just while we are here, my recollection is that there is still a petition for proposal which came from the contained in the document, committee proposal. There should be three proposals there, one attack from the Honourable Wander, one attack from the Honourable Dean Smart and Mania, and then also one from the Honourable Albert Singer. Is that where we are now, Honourable Members? What is moving?
That's where we are, Chair.
No.
Thank you. point of clarification. The proposal in the document reflects what I tabled, thank you very much. But in the yesterday, I made a simplified additional proposal, which I would like to have recorded on applying it back to the issue the Honorable Landers stated that the proposal did not find favor at that time, but I would like to perhaps be carried forward in case in further reflection it does find favor. And the proposal is the poll. I haven't written it down, but for instance, the text of the.
But I'll put it on the comment, but then. So it's not like to come to you if you want to put a further proposal, because that is in effect what the Honorable.
No, I'm just reiterating what I'm correcting what's on the record, what I reiterated what I said yesterday.
Yes, we'll get you now. Okay. I just don't want you to take the Honorable Mania's place.
Yeah, this is my answer, whether it seems.
Honorable Mania, can you quickly tell us what it is that you are wanting to change?
Thank you, Chair. This was a debate last night, and it was a debate on national security last night, and it was a fairly debate. This proposal does capture our agreement, certainly the insertion of the new sub-clause D. We welcome that. Chair, we had an opportunity to consider this matter, and you will know that there is disagreement in respect of B1, B4, B5, those two clauses. In respect of B1, national security includes hostile acts of foreign intervention. We are on the record as proposing that that sub-clause be deleted, but we accept that it is as part of the NPT submission. Yesterday we proposed a qualifier which did not find favor with the response. I think it would be helpful if we considered using the qualifier that we use in sub-clause B, a sub-clause I beg your pardon, 4, so that one would read, national security includes hostile acts of foreign intervention aimed or directed at undermining the constitutional system of government in the Republic. I would urge the ruling party to consider that qualifier. It is exactly the same qualifier, but very similar to the qualifier that we use in sub-clause 4. Chair, if I could then just move on to sub-clause 4, just cleaning up the language and making it more consistent with sub-clause 7. It seems to me that the clause should be exposure of, I would delete A, state, exposure of state security matter with the intention of undermining the constitutional system of government. So the wording is quite similar to seven. Chair, then in respect of sub-clause 5, the clause dealing with the exposure of economic, scientific, and technological interests, we are obviously concerned that this sub-clause is overbroad, particularly the reference to economic interests and development. And it is for that reason that we proposed that the clause be amended and be brought roughly in line with Bill 17(1)(j), and that it read the exposure of scientific or technological secrets vital to the Republic. It seems to me I would urge the Green Party to consider my proposed amendment to B1, B4, B5, and B5. In some cases, they're quite minor, and simply include a change of language that can be more consistent with the qualifier in the clause.
Can you give that to the wording to the amendment to the state law advisor? And can you check with the state law advisor that it is correctly captured as a separate and an additional proposal from the without interfering with the proposal of the agency? So that when it comes back in the committee proposal document and not in the big document, we can actually see where it looks.
Just very simple, maybe just not a recorder. But my suggestion was where the trace of with the word before the clear and present trace of, and then underneath putting A, B, C, D, etc., eliminating the following acts. So I could read it. The clear and present trace of, 1, use of force or the use of force, hostile activity of foreign intervention, terrorism or terrorist activity, espionage, and so on and so forth. This was the first part of my proposal. The second part of my proposal was that of eliminating sub 4, exposure of state security matters. So it can be carried forward in this format rather than in the previous format. Thank you. And the rest stands as in what before us.
The way I'm looking at it is we are very close. The party is very close. And if I look at the ANC suggestion, what I said yesterday, just the qualification of 4 and 7, we just need to make that wording consistent. The wording in our definition of hostile activity refers to the constitutional order of the Republic. So we could undermine the constitutional state and undermine the system of government. So it's purely a consistency issue there. I would suggest the definition that is referred to hostile activity aimed at undermining or whatever the verb is going to be, the constitutional order of the Republic. And in here, I would support the narrowing down of 5, exposure by the removal of economic and development. I don't have a problem with myself and self-foreign intervention. The ANC and my proposal were very similar from the word go. So, as I look at it, I think we can reach agreement on these issues. We are very close to one another on it. And I would move, Chair, that we flag it, we note our differences, but I'm sure that as we go along, this is the crux of the whole world, that we try to reach agreement on that. So purely from my side, it would be the consistency, the constitutional order, and the narrowing down of fire by the removal of the economic development issue. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, let me deal with the B1. Any act, hostile act, or foreign intervention would obviously be designed to, or
consistency that the Honourable Sword speaks about. Don't forget to make that adjustment. Can the state law advise us to make that adjustment? The proposal that you have on the single page, which is essentially that one of the, I can see now, can you make that adjustment?
Why are we not in favor of exposure of economic? Why is that in scientific? The economic factual is interested in the country.
I was never identifying the clause by referring to one of the words in the clause. The DA is objecting to the clause, and they have proposed different wording. I was merely referring to the forwarding the clause to direct their attention to what the clause is. Thank you. other clauses on which they had originally complained on a agreed upon, they stand there need to be two clauses where, or two sub clauses where they differ. And that is the question of exposure of state security matters. So the exposure of economic, scientific, technological, that clause, and the Roman one, hostile action for the convention.
It might not be useful to indicate to you why we want to still have a look at the new formulation in C, and it is the introduction of the word act. I can absolutely see why Corin and Caesar did it. It's a logical, almost grammatical thing. But the fact of the matter is that it introduces now a whole new category of acts undescribed, which also become part of the definition of national security. The national security now includes the protection of the people of the Republic and our territorial integrity against, one, the threat or use of force, two, the following acts, and three, acts directed at undermining our capacity to respond to useful threat of force. But we haven't said what these acts are. And that's why we just don't want to accept it as it stands. We want to look at that. Because it does create a whole new category of acts.
I just recorded that we had agreed to it, but it seems you want to get out of agreement. Yes, sir.
Allow me to just break one more small map on on this issue. Dean is correct. I mean, at a certain point, one struggles also with the grammar, and things need to fall in a certain place. But if we go and if we use a protecting the Republic against the threat of, and everything goes under threat, we eliminate the act, because act of espionage, it might be different from espionage, shouldn't it? But all that we react is the threat of something. And because it is a threat, the threat needs to be qualified. You don't want to have clear and present threat, make it demonstrable and objective. But it needs to be qualified. And I know I'm repeating myself, allow me to forgive them.
So you decided to change your position from what you had said earlier. You just had a problem with Spain. Did you see that?
No, my suggestion is that trade should hold everything. And whether you make it an A and under A, you have a Roman numeral, or you put the trace under the on the upper line, and then becomes A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way to a cetera. So you have no act in B, you have no act in C. You have a trace of use of force or the use of force, hostile acts of foreign intervention, terrorism, espionage, exposure to economic, scientific, etc., violence. And then a state which can undermine the capacity of the Republic, threat of undermining the capacity of the Republic, and we have no longer act. And again, we need to qualify the measure as a threshold to the threat, because there is a threat of the world ending tomorrow, but it's not likely. There is a threat of global warming. There are all these threats. It must be that measure of demonstrable, clear objective. A threat must be, there is a threat that tomorrow I may come with a gun and shoot myself here. But it's not the thing against which one needs to guard. Bad example, somebody may wish for it.
I really think, you know, you and honorable member, as much as you think the threat needs to be defined, I think if you look at the other side of the argument, you will really start to your argument. Honourable members, I'm going to move on. I'm going to ask those honourable members that have a difficulty with the clause proposed that they pass on to the state law advisor their version and that they be incorporated in this thin document as additional proposals. I'm putting the obligation and reasoning that she gave, and we will then incorporate it in the document as separate proposals. Can we then move on, Ms. Boyce? Where are we now? Thinking at the time was we would lose nothing if we did not make reference to that. In any event, I think if you want to make it a condition that this bill is only going to be satisfied or appropriate once it is harmonized with the prior, you would be placing this committee and this parliament in a very awkward position. So who are we to know to what extent this bill has been harmonized with prior? And also just what is this harmony that is spoken about? My understanding originally was don't take away what prior gives was, let's not amend prior. From the very first day, the understanding was always that this bill was not going to amend any clauses in prior. I know that there are people that had a different view of what was meant by don't essentially, the issue was really how many pieces of legislation are there out there that we might equally consider that this bill needs to be harmonized with. And I think, and if I take you back to the debate, I can tell you that recordings it would take some time to come up with it, but you will see we had spent many hours and many days at different times arguing about that. I would hesitate now to say that for some reason that was not seriously considered, those arguments that you had raised then, that you just now had to go on to decide, let's put it back when you had found really good reasons why it should be deleted. But again, I don't think you need to take that decision now. I think some of you need to go and look at what it is that it said, what your notes say. You can see what my memory is telling me, is it that correct or not. But I don't think it's going to take us any further. Let's leave that particular clause and we can come back to it. Can we look at the other clauses where we might find consensus on the understanding that we will revisit that clause to see whether it needs to be reinserted? Is there any difficulty? Sorry, can the state law advisor then present to us in the same document, by deleting all those things that you have indicated need to be deleted? And include this wording that you say needs to be included? And then will the honourable members have a look at this and see that when we look at this clause again, that you want to make any other additional amendments? I know it's the first time you're looking at it now. We don't want you to take decisions on something you see for the first time now, and then later on we have to go through the process to change your mind. Can we agree on that process, honourable members, so that we don't spend time now? I think once you applied your mind to this thing, we can come back and you would have, if there are any constructive proposals, that you will have it in word form so that we won't have to argue about it. Then back to you, Mr.
Thank you, Chairperson. The next proposal is then at the bottom of page 4. We were asked to consider part of an organ of state for the application of the Act. And the first proposal is then on bottom of page 4, paragraph B, where we say that the major signed by the Minister on good cause shown by publication in the Gazette to any organ of state that part thereof that applies in a prescribed manner to have those provisions applied to. Then the alternative would then be on page 5 after the proposal. The relevant head in consultation with his or her minister may file an application with the minister in a prescribed manner to apply to have the classification, reclassification, and declassification provisions of the Act applied to a part of the specific organ of state concerned. Chairperson and then just at the bottom there, the further proposal in paragraph B was just to have the words changed around so that it reads that which can demonstrate that information to be classified relates directly to a national security to have those provisions applied to it. Chairperson, that's on clause 3.
Honourable member, application clause. Honourable members have raised that there is justification. I think everybody agrees that it might be necessary that people apply not to the whole organ of state but to a part thereof, and that if that was something that was agreed to, it was not captured in the original proposal of the NMC. All that had to be captured was that the application clause exists and part of an organ mention any honorable members on page 4? Does that capture what you wanted? Do you want to go to the further proposal on page 5? Or even to the further one, which is also captured on page 5? It seems to me that the one on page 4 is the simplest and the most concise. Clearly the proposal on page 5, the 2 there seems to be taking the matter further than what was proposed by the Honourable Barman.
Provider as an alternative.
I agree. Yes. If you don't agree with us, then yes, we can't. You have the wording of your then, honourable members, is it correct then the principal post from page 5 can be deleted? The first proposal from page 5. Okay, we've got that question. Can we then proceed to that?
Thank you.
wrong with that. The point I'm making is, in this file, it simply says when necessary, information, access to information may be restricted. Which is the point. It is the context.
No, it is the context.
We have a preamble now. The preamble is agreed to with the state law advisor accordingly instructed to insert the preamble into the big working document. With that slight adjustment and to draw our attention to the adjustment. Thank you.
back to
okay, I'm on that.
comfortable longer than my position. My position is a democratic perspective. His position is wrong. Because the answer is that if a classified document reveals unlawful acts, omissions, incompetence, crime, corruption, there is virtue in leaking that document, and on handing in that document, whoever leaked the document should get a medal, not be investigated. Mm-hmm. Or they should be investigated as saying who used it so they can be given the medal. Is it democratic? Because how is that democratic? Honorable members, let me bring you down to where we are, honorable members. Clause 18 in the original poll is what you are complaining about. Now, the discussion, let me say what you were discussing, Clause 18. So, Clause 18 says that a person who is in possession of a classified record, knowing that such record has been unlawfully communicated, delivered, or made available other than in the manner and for the purposes contemplated in this Act, except where such position is for any purpose and in any means, manner authorized by law. Now, this is the part where there is the debate. The person must report such position and return such record to a member of the South African Police Services or the agency. Now, that is not an offense. It is merely stating can be something wrong with that behavior. If you want to see what the offense is, you have to turn to 39. And when you get to 39, that is on page 22 of the original poll, you will see now that 39 then criminalizes that behavior of not taking and 39 reads, any person who fails to comply with section 18, which is the section I just read, is guilty of an offence and liable to a fine or imprisonment for a period not less than 3 years, but not exceeding 5 years, or both such fine and imprisonment. And there has been an adjustment or agreement that the minimum sentence would be deleted. But that essentially, that clause 39 is linked to 18. Now, the point that the Honourable Van Wyk makes is that there should be some form of control once the document, because after all, we are concerned about our classified documents. And let's not worry about the ones that the Honourable mainly refers to that's got all the dirtiness, because they or by far going to be in the minority, our panel does a proper work. And also considering that there is a very restricted amount of the public community that's going to be empowered to classify. What we are concerned about, first of all, is not having these documents move around without being governed by law. So to say to take it back to the police, the Honourable Van Wyk raises a very valuable point. What then? We should be safe so that they don't leave this thing on the desk or that it doesn't be handed over to some ordinary policeman. That comes from the private sector. So the Honourable Van Wyk raises the thing. What then? Now, the answer seems to lie in the regulation, so either we say something here that the prescribed manual, we had a clause to the regulation that the minister should make regulations to, or the relevant minister should make the regulations. I'm not sure which minister needs to deal with that particular issue when the document lands up.
additional thing which I think the honourable members have not discussed, I don't think we are covering ground that we have covered before. Yes, honourable.
I think it's
a
good time for me to chip in. And I think that the comment of the Honourable Patrick highlights a much greater problem that we seem not to be willing to accept the existence of, and we don't seem to be willing to discuss. When our Good Samaritan brings the document to the police station, actually under the compulsion of law, he will give it to a policeman. Now, the crime of illegal disclosure of information and the crime of illegal possession of classified information relates to a person without the required security clearance, getting to know something or having a document. So, when that document is given to the policeman, he, in receiving it, he, in reading it, makes himself guilty of that crime if he does, if he does not have the required security clearance. As he goes to his superior or to his friend, asking, now what do I do with this? And he goes, picks up the telephone with someone and says, I received this document, it speaks about the location of our nuclear submarines, and is marked as top secret, is disclosing it to other people. As in the law of defamation, so in the law of secrecy, any further disclosure is an independent disclosure, for as long as the document remains classified. And you disagree, it may be heard, but this is reality, so let me finish the argument.
The honourable members keep on forgetting that as long as you handle the document.
This is not the point of order. This is not the point of order.
Oh, you didn't say something else.
No, I'm not raising a point of order on your point of order. I'm on the chair. Your point of order on her point of order. That's not the point of order. She's just answering the merits of my argument.
Honourable members, can you help?
She's arguing.
You cannot raise a point of order on a point of order because you're basically ruling that. I don't have the right to rule on the point.
No, I'm submitting to you for your ruling. That the health is not the point of order. You rule whoever is right.
The honorable member is not getting the honorable. He said he's just going to chip him. Now, by chipping, I meant he was not going to get wrong. So as soon as he
Once you say that you can't unsay it. That's not what the Deputy Chief Justice Shaneki said. I think I must encourage you to read that judgment. You must read it very carefully, honourable member. Then you will start getting this when you make those statements about what is leaked, it's no longer a secret. The honourable member, I saw his hand and then the honourable member. That was the order then. And that, oh, sorry, sorry. There was that intervention, points of order 19. Accelerate the Honourable Fund Bank's request, because it was directly in response to the Honourable Opposite. Honourable Fund Bank and then Honourable Bonders.
Jefferson, I think the problem is that we tend to forget that what we are doing is to say that if this Samaritan, to use the Honourable Opposite's public domain, the Honourable Opposite's argument of the Samaritan, let's use that argument. There's a legal way to deal with that document, and that's what we're trying to establish. As long as that person is handling that document within the legal framework of this bill that we are busy with, hand it in. And that's what we're trying to establish. That's why we raised this issue about that we need to add something about in the prescribed regulations and within the prescribed regulations by the police itself. As long as that person is doing that, as long as the police officer receiving it handles it within the prescribed manner, nobody amongst the Samaritan and the police officers are breaking the law. That's what we're saying. And all we want from this argument is just to strengthen and to tighten it, that the police and the obligation of handling it once it's handed in to the police, and for that matter the agency, that it be then handled in the prescribed manner. That's the only thing that we are asking for. So I don't understand why the Honourable Ambassador keeps on about it will then be an open, because now the police officer is going to phone a friend and say, I'm on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I've got this, and I'm calling help a friend. I've received this document, now what must I do with this document? There will be regulations prescribing exactly how the police officer receiving the document must handle it, and that's what we're asking for. Let's just tighten that section by saying in the prescribed manner.
Honourable Bond,
thank you, Chair. Honourable Land is absolutely correct. The public domain that information which is generally known and is disclosed by the press cannot lead to prosecution. This has been adequately argued in the Rabi report, that is a report on security legislation in 1981. If the Honourable Member will refer to the case of the State versus Marais, he will find that information that is well known cannot lead to prosecution. That is the general principle. That is the Minister of Justice speaking in Parliament in the debate on the protection of the Information Bill in 1982, and I believe that the Minister of Justice at the time was Mr. Kovic. Again, I find it astounding that the ANC are opposing a principle, in this case the principle of public domain defense. In fact, it cannot be prosecuted if information is generally known, when that principle was even recognized by the apartheid state.
Honorable members, those are the good old days. All the bad days. Those are the bad old days. Let's not die.
According to
order, less said about those days. I think anything went this day. Point of order. Point of order.
Thank
you. Order. Point of order.
Yes, you, in terms of procedure, you allow the Honourable Mayor to make a point, which was point of staff. The Honourable Landers accused me of breaking the rules of Parliament, which is a very serious thing. I ask you for an opportunity to submit to you that this is not the case. And
you have to hear me, Honourable
Landers. And you say that
you
would.
Can I stop you there? Can I stop you there? Let me repeat what I said then. I said I will get back.
I'm writing just to urge you to give me that opportunity now, before you think on the reply.
No, you must be patient. I said that you will hear the Honourable Mayor, and then we will hear the Honourable SWAT, and then we will get back to you. That's what I said. So there's no need to get nervous at all. On that point that you are raising. So let's not confuse things. Honourable Mayor, do you want me to strike that speech of yours off the record?
No.
Okay, then can you hear the Honourable Swan?
Thank you, Chair. The issue of the peace and the position that you handed out today is obviously important, and I think that we need to look at it raises another issue, of course, and that is the override we've built in, which is purported to assist the person, the journalist, that is in possession of the document, which he should be in possession of. He then handed over to the police, and the example that we've used is the imminent explosion of Kuburg. Say NIA has got a document about that, and it's about to explode. The journalist or the member of the public that he leaked that document takes it to the local police station and then brings an urgent application to court. But before he can do so, the head of the organ of state must take that decision on act in terms of an override. So you understand there's a practical problem there. The head of the organ of state is the DG sitting in Pretoria and must take a decision, whether it's in one day or 14 days, in imminent danger. Now, that constable then sitting with the document, he's got to be aware that he's got to get it to the head of the organ of state, or that journalist is frustrated because he won't be able to bring his urgent application. So it's so urgent, and he can make out a case of it. And our court case is on 15 minutes notice. And I think here we need to look at bridging that, and the only way in this specific case is to allow the court the possessor to go to court with that document and then come in line with the provisions we've made for classified documents that go to court. Only in this specific case, and that is a possibility of bridging that. You're not, and we deal with it in the way that we deal with classified documents that are subject to a court process. Only in the very narrow instances of the override that we've got here. I don't see how else you're going to deal with that practical implication of your local police sergeant. And you are aware of this. We've made provision as a journalist or a member of the public. You rush to court because it's imminent. You need to bring that application. The court says yes, but the head of the organ of state must at least take a decision. But you say, but it's sitting at the local constable or the sergeant. The DG is sitting in Pretoria. It's impossible. So it's a very narrow event that would happen. A very event that would not happen much. But we need to make a provision to allow that journalist or member of the public to go straight to court with that document. Make out a strong enough case. You follow, but it's in the very narrow event. The other events where you've got your 50 days, that's different. And Chair, that is just something that I think, but I do agree with Honourable Fumbrake, that we need to regulate what the police do with that document in some way. And of course, a lot depends on later our discussions on the defence. This stage where we are now, we need to address that issue. Thank you.
Yeah, the Honourable Honour is first. Then the Honourable Magnus, the Honourable Senior Factor.
So, where we deal with requests for access to classified information, it says they require a court to make a long run. Nothing prevents it. He can just go to the court and make the application. And you know how it works. You have to prove that it's urgent. Okay, who goes to going out? Fine. I can't see the court not considering on the urgent basis of it. What he's dealing with the objective is just to correct the concern raised by the audience that this is a constable. And we all know what it's like to enter a police station.
I mean, it's like a nightmare.
You look around and you look at the people in control like that. You know, you cringe. Now imagine how much worse it's going to be when you're bringing this person a top six document. I expect that they're going to want to lock you up. Why are you having this document? And you're going to have to explain and say, oh, go and look at that act. Well, you know, people behind the counter in our police station. So it is a problem. No. If, Chairperson, we make a provision in this law for the relevant minister, I think it should be the relevant to prescribe how, in that situation, the record must be dealt with. But the Honourable Fumbrake is correct. Because we are putting into the law the fact that the person who receives the record must return it to the police or the agency, everyone in that process that handles it is not committing an offence because we are providing for it.
The Honourable Mayor.
Frankly, when I step back and read today, it's frankly bizarre. I want to ask the Honourable if he really believes in a democratic state such as us. If a journalist is in possession of a classified document that reveals some kind of wrongdoing for
There was some unauthorized discussion, Jim. I'm going to legalize it now. And then I'll get back to German somewhere. I'm going to get to you, or you go somewhere.
As far as the honorable gentleman may get, the only reason you will receive a document is because there's Belgium. I mean, he's stuck with it. The first thing he... No, no, fine. That's fine. But I thought we had provided for it. That where there's malfeasance, it must be dealt with in a particular way. And the Honourable Steve was quite correct. Where it is even worse than malfeasance, where there's an imminent threat, Google's going to blow up, you can deal with it in a particular way.
The Honourable Rose first, the Honourable Rose. The Honourable Saunders. Let me just go ahead and that is a separate matter. We are busy with this issue which we... Honourable Saunders, can you proceed?
When someone who asks democracy questions now about whether it's democratic or not, I'm relating to how you look at the honorable member Ladders. He assisted you by ushering democracy, and that is why you have introduced this bill in a fashion that would circumvent no problem. I think it's fair. I remember what you were saying. There should be internal processes that get it from the space before this thing is taken to court. None of the complaints. And. Sorry? Well, edit application is something else now. That's another animal. Otherwise, we spoke at length about how we take this process via the police station and all that. But we were taking into account every process in that thing. Now, it surprises me now that we question police station. It practically means that we're going to question now the relevant authority in whatever department. And we're going to question other things. Where are we taking this to? I'm not quite sure. If, for instance, you have stolen a document, you know that you have stolen, it's a written secret document or whatever, you know that you have stolen. You read it, you know what it means, you seek an interdict, a court interdict. You have the right to do that. And then court application. Now, if you do that, you are going to bear the consequences. Definitely, in the process, you are going to be asked where did you get the document. And that is what we do not want to hear. How did you get that? How did the document land in your hand? That is what we do not want to hear. We cannot take this shortcut without it having consequences. It will have the relevant consequences that are born in the act. And that is why we are developing this bill in this way, that needs to regulate this information so that whoever has it is, in fact, his or her right.
Honorable members, we have two speakers still. I'm going to adjourn the TS outside. He's outside. I'm going to adjourn until 4:30.
Thank you. debated weeks ago already, and we've agreed on this issue. All we're asking is that we use Title 66, that provision, to refer to the fact that it must be handled in the regulations as prescribed by the minister. That's all we're asking.
Yes, Honourable Member, that I directed your attention because I had been informed by now that there was a matter which she thought needed to be raised because it's a matter. And Honourable Funbeck is correct, and I did also say this before you started your debate. The only reason why I raised it and drew your attention to it so that you it was that I was referring to, that's why I referred you to the original bill and the committee working document. I want to, just before I close this matter, go to the Honourable Abrosini. Honourable Abrosini, you're going to be short.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I guess that's the time when I'm supposed to attack the Honourable Lander for having said that I was breaking parliamentary rules when I disagreed on his reading of a constitutional court judgment, which was not even the reading of the state law advisor. But now reflection and forced me to reflect by tracking me off the roll and not enabling me to reply. I mean, I have an enormous amount of respect for the Honourable Lander. What he's doing is extraordinary and beyond human. I was chairing our public hearing this morning non-stop. So I think that we need to move forward. And I will, I disagree with what he said. I won't go into details, but I waive my right to reply.
Honourable members, the issue is, can we deal with this thing in a prescribed manner and accommodate this thing in the regulation? How this thing is going to be dealt with?
You might as well be fundamentally disagreeing with that at all.
To the state of the concern is then that what happens when you take the document to the agency or to the police, the person who then finds himself in the circumstances set out in clause 18 of the law. In order to avoid being prosecuted and also to streamline the manner in which the police or the agency is going to deal with the document, there needs to be something in the regulations that will spell that out. So there might be some seniority at the police station that you want to deal with, the station commander or whatever the case is, and receiving a receipt or, but that will go in the regulations, and we at the stage in the regulations. But that type of thing that we are thinking of, just to give you some idea of what you need to keep in mind. I think what would perhaps be needed by the regulation, of course, just to perhaps insert something there to refer to this particular clause 18 and 39. Is that understood on this point? On this point, I don't remember.
I just wanted to stress that I'm not sure whether it was implicit or even explicit in your interaction, but whatever the case may be, allow me to highlight and phrase it, that it be written that the purpose of the regulation for the purpose of providing that the person is not going to be charged as the one who delivers it, and any other applicable matter, because otherwise if your sentiment so to either I'm really getting fed up. I'm getting attacked personally without any reason or ground. But time and again, if people disagree with what I say, I raise my argument, not me personally. I've spoken after any ask for permission, after any received the chairman's permission, after the chairman has completed his summary. So let's stop this this manner of dealing with one another.
I never gave you permission when I was coming. You took the mic on your own.
No.
Not that we don't see that. We see that. Can you do it continuously?
This is factually not true.
No,
Mr. Chairman, can you please clarify the matter? I think the nearest other local here is closer.
Through the chairman. Honorable Abusin, can you just hold on? Let me hear the honorable members. Chairperson, honorable member of the have a skill to do what he is doing. And he's doing it continuously. And I wonder if he realizes that we are watching him, we are just impatient with him. And every time when we expose, we oppose, I'm saying, when we oppose, he takes what do you call it? Offense. We are not trying to offend him. All we are doing is to look at the procedure of the meeting and follow that procedure. And he doesn't want to do that. All he wants to do is to do as he wishes, because he feels that he is the only person who is more intelligent than any other one.
So with the
point of order raised by the honourable member is correct. The issue of issuing the instruction to the state law advisor must be by one person, otherwise we create confusion. And the state law advisor in the past has complained to me that in the early stages, not recently, but in the early stages, that she was sometimes coming back here and presenting and being criticized because instructions were coming from different people. Hence, at some stage, you would have quietly noted that I had adopted the procedure whereby I was communicating directly and only myself with the state law advisor in order to avoid any confusion. The point of order I say is well taken, of course, the honorable embassy did now after I instructing the state law advisor to intervene.
I'm sorry, but this is absurd. I'm speaking to you, requesting you to make something clear which was not clear. It was the point of clarity.
You see, what happened on the program this evening is precisely what is happening now. As I'm still talking, you're interfering. And this is what the honorable member is complaining about. The fact that you have interfered. I hear you, yes, but not before I heard you. And therefore, on the proceeding, you must understand what the complaint is. The complaint was your intervention. The fact that I sat there watching does not mean that I am condoning when members intervene. Unless I am in the position to control the procedure of meeting, we run the risk of the thing deteriorating into a situation where there will be no control here. And you know, and every other member knows, that if they want to be heard, all they have to do is raise their hand, and then they will be heard. I will make sure that they are heard. So, the point of order is well taken. If you want to be heard on the bulletin proceeding, then you will raise your hand. Can I just check before? Have you, I hope this hasn't confused you, Ms. Boyce, as to what the instruction was. What the instructions are on the bulletin proceeding.
Chairman, I am addressing you on a matter of clarity on your instruction to the state law advisor. Because in your instruction, I'm not clear, but in your instruction you highlighted the purpose of the regulation. And I would like to have clarity on whether those purposes of the regulations are going to be captured in the instruction and therefore in the language. And I submit to you that that should be the case. So as to avoid the regulation be written that would prompt the policeman who receives the document to charge the one of the dealership to take his information and to question him where he got it from.
Honourable Member, I think we made it clear not only today but previously that we are not going to write the regulations here. The regulations will come to the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence when they have been formulated, and then that committee will have an opportunity to engage with the drafters of the regulation. I think all that we require here is what I have said, that we need to in the present clause that deals with regulations in the law merely make reference to Section 18. That the minister, whoever the minister is, needs to tell the regulation to deal with clause 18. That's all. The wording of the regulations, I think, not the subject matter of the discussion here now. And to then bring us in a separate document what that regulation is that you propose how it should be. So I hope members will see how the regulation is going to be brought in some unauthorized manner. You will see the regulation tomorrow. Not the reference to Section 18 or Clause 18 in the regulation. Honourable members, can we now conclude that that matter is at least disposed of for the day? And then, honourable members, honourable members, is there anything else you want to throw our attention to? That matter in your request. Have you got that, Ms. Boyce, that there's an agreement, this conflict of law settled? And so you can be. Ms. Boyce, the question of the heating of the and then
incorporating the version of the 208 goal as opposed to what is presently in the bulk regarding the archives. Can I be advised what is the position there? I think I did ask the state law advisor also to look at what implications it might have given that we had inserted now a panel, a review panel, and so forth. But the principal decision as to whether we should be working with the 208 version of the archives or whether we are going to stick with our version of the archives. That was the proposal that came from Dr. Vern Harris, that we consider using the 208 version. The old bulls version that refers to the archives. Have the honorable members had a look at it? I'm dealing with now is not to confuse our members any further. It's just a simple decision. Is there merit? Not obtaining the automatic declassification clause because they appear in the 208 and 2010 goal. And if they're going to be adjusted, they could be adjusted in both. I'm just asking suppose that we adjourn until 6 and we can come to dinner. And it was a dinner. Try it for now. It will give you an opportunity to consider, because it seems that I give you some work overnight or over the weekend. You don't get positive stuff. Now I want to do in-house. We do get a positive result. When we do come back, we have taken a decision, because this is something that has been presented to our philosophy committee the week before. We should have had a decision. But I think it would be useful, rather than argue now, so I'm sure you want to look at it closely. So I'm merely putting a proposal. We can adjourn to 6, then go to dinner, and then after dinner, if we come back, one decision, maybe let's go with the 208 version or not, then we would have made progress. And I think the rest would be simple. Thank you.